The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Good morning, everyone. This Lord's Day is our annual Bible Sunday in which we seek to make a contribution to the work of the Scottish Bible Society. You will have been given envelopes as you came into the church this morning, and there will be an opportunity over the next couple of weeks to return the envelopes with your contribution. But we do ask that you would think very seriously about making a donation for the work which goes on and which benefits not only people in our own lands, but in places where Bibles are scarce and access is limited. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we extend a warm welcome to you and hope that very soon you'll feel at home amongst us. And if you have time afterwards, tea and coffee served in the large hall where we continue our fellowship together. But let's worship God together as we sing Holy Wisdom, Lamp of Learning. Let's listen to the ancient voice of faith as we find it in the book of Psalms. The psalmist says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion." Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you that we have been gathered together with a people set on a journey. A journey where we embrace your truth. A journey where we seek to share your love. A journey which can be transformative to all those we encounter on the way. We thank you that we've heard this story, that it has made an impact upon our lives, that we have had an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus, and his Spirit is in our hearts. And so we ask that you would place before us the vision the psalmist shares with us of a people journeying through the most barren place and creating there springs of fresh and pure water. We pray that with all the resources that you have given us, the gift of your Spirit, a message to proclaim and love to share, that wherever we are as your people, no matter how deep the darkness, no matter how desolate the landscape, that we would be given opportunity to make that a place of springs, where people can drink of the living water and know the vitality, the peace, and the vision that only Jesus can bring. And we pray that today would be a significant moment in our journey as we've gathered together as a people, as we set our minds on pilgrimage. Enable us to gather the resources that we need to be faithful, so that in the end we will not be ashamed when we meet with our God in Zion. And we pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord, who has taught us to pray in these words: "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth is in heaven. Our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Well, good morning, boys and girls. Nice to see you. Remember last week I was getting a wave from somebody, and that's nice. Any other waves? That's good. Yes, Murdo. You got your earphones, I say. Yes, indeed. I was telling you last week, I was going down to see my wee grandson. Remember Busby the footballer? And man alive, he was leaving me breathless with all his football in the last few days. Amazing. But, you know, it was nice to be down there and to see him, but also to wander through Cheltenham where he stays, because it's a very nice place. And I was wandering through Cheltenham, I think it was on Tuesday, and there was a lot of things that were familiar. You know, there's a Waterstones. You know about Waterstones? They sell books. You know, you just walk past Waterstones, you know. And there was also a Wittards. Do you know about Wittards? That's where I get my coffee. That's what I call my rocket fuel, you know. I drink that first thing in the morning. And there's also a Primark, where I get my socks, you know, in Primark. So it's an awful lot of things that were familiar. There were some things that weren't familiar, or at least hadn't been there the last time I was there. There's a new John Lewis. All the adults are now interested. There's a new John Lewis. You know, I don't know. I didn't go there because when I go to the one in Glasgow, you have to fight your way through the perfume counter, you know, and it makes me sneeze. Anyway, so I didn't go to John. But there's a big Ferris wheel in Imperial Gardens. You know, they've got these names down there, you know, and there's this big Ferris wheel, and it was quite amazing. I didn't go to that either. But I'm wandering through, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know anybody here. All these people that are passing me by, and I don't know them at all. You know, I can walk through the village, and I'm, you know, get stopped, the people say hello, and you have a wee chat with folk. I can even go into Glasgow, and sometimes you meet people that you know, and you stop, and you know what it is to be famous, you know, that's really the problem. But in Cheltenham, there was nobody that I knew as I was walking through. And what I remembered was a time when the Apostle Paul was in a big city that was unfamiliar to him. You know that Paul was a great follower of Jesus in the very early days of the church. And he once found himself all alone in the great city of Athens. Athens, which is the capital city of Greece. And he was there, and he was walking around, and I'm sure he was feeling a wee bit lonely. His pals, Silas and Timothy, they were going to meet him there, but they hadn't arrived. So there he was, he's strolling through the big, big city. But then he found, it was amazing, Paul found opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. You know, he found people who were willing to listen to what he had to tell them about Jesus. And there was one particular group of people who were very, very important. It was like, you know, you'd been asked to speak to the government of the day. You know, these were very, very important and powerful people. And Paul had an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And at one point, Paul said, you know, God is not far from each one of us. God is not far from each one of us. And I believe that Paul, that thought was rattling around in his head as he was going through this big city where nobody knew him. God is not far from each one of us, and he's not far from me. Even though I might be feeling a wee bit lonely just now and maybe a wee bit frightened, God is not far from me. You know, someone once said to me that God loves each one of us as if there's just one person to love. You got that? God loves each one of us as if there's just one person to love. His entire focus, if you like, is on each and every one of us. And what you can say also is that God is with us as if there's just one person to be with. God is with each one of us as if there's just one person to be with. And you ask yourself, well, how is that possible? It just is. Because he's God. And he sent us Jesus to show how close he is to us. Jesus lived a life like ours. And he once said that once someone becomes his follower, no one will snatch that person out of my hand. No one will snatch that person out of my hand. He is with us as if there's just one person to be with. And I want you to remember that, because we all feel a wee bit wobbly at times. Sometimes a bit lonely and a bit frightened about things. And it's good to know that God is always with us and always willing to give us what we need to go through even the loneliest and the most frightening of times. So, we're going to sing together now. It's one of my favourites, actually, this one. And I hope you like it too. I love the name of Jesus. Let's sing it together.
And we read together in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. And reading from verse 1. And you will find that on page 723. Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And then we read in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 7 and from verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Amen. And may God bless his word to us.
We We sing together, friends, speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we give thanks for the assurance that all your promises will be fulfilled in your people. And we pray that in this time that we spend with your word, that the promises would become more clear, that they would sink deeper, and that they would direct us inwardly as we go forward in faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, many of you will be aware that this will probably be my last Sunday morning for some time, because the blood disorder that was diagnosed some time ago has now moved on to the extent that I require chemotherapy. And this is due to start in the first week in March. Presbytery will be making arrangements for an interim moderator who will ensure that the worship goes on here in St. Paul's, and also that any pastoral issues that arise will be dealt with. David is going to be here, but he'll need a wee bit of help. And I'm sure that Presbytery will do their best for us. I'm grateful for your prayers in this last year, because you'll remember that it was originally floated that I would begin treatment last year. That the pause button was pressed on that, but now it's become necessary. So I'm grateful for your prayers, Gabriel and the family are too, for all the support. And we just need to place our trust in God as we seek to go forward. That's why it was important, really, that I had some time to spend with the family down south this week. Baby bugs are notorious for folk like me who'll be undergoing treatment. So it was good to see the family, including the grandson, before it all begins. Good also to enjoy some of the sights and the sounds of Cheltenham, especially a park which is really quite near where Stephen and the family stay, Hatherley Park it's called. And with it being half term down there, the place was really buzzing with life. You know, people taking their dogs for a walk, and there's some exotic breeds down there. There was one I asked, I mean, it was a strange looking creature, you know. Apparently it came from Thailand. So there you go. You get dogs like that down there, but also families feeding the ducks and kids playing in the swings and all the other playground facilities that you would expect in a park. A lot of trees too. And at the foot of many of these trees, there were memorial stones for people who had passed on but who loved the park, and their families wanted to keep their memory alive. And it occurred to me at that moment, with all the signs of life that were going on around me, a phrase from the Anglican Book of Common Prayer came into my mind. You may have heard it. It's part of the burial service as designated in the Anglican Church. And it says, in the midst of life, we are in death. In the midst of life, we are in death. With all the signs of life that were going on round about us in that park, there was this reminder of the fragility of life and also the ultimate destination, the ultimate end of all life. Now, I can understand if you thought this was a kind of a morbid thought to cross my mind, but remember that no shadow like that can cross a Christian mind without us being reminded of the promises of Jesus, that his presence goes with us through all the dark and difficult times, and even through the experience of death. That grip is not withheld, and we are established in the place he's prepared in his kingdom for those who trust him. This promise that prevails against all the change and decay that we experience around us and within us. As David read to us from the prophet Isaiah, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands. It stands forever. And it's in that faith, surely, that we go forward through all the challenges of life, knowing that we're not left without the resources that we need to not just to survive, but to bear witness to the love of our God. And these words from the prophet Isaiah, they came to the people of Israel at a time when they were suffering greatly. You'll remember that there came a moment in the history of that nation when they were invaded by one of the superpowers of the day, by Babylon. And the capital city of Jerusalem was devastated. The temple was desecrated. People were herded like cattle and marched into captivity in the land of Babylon. That was for a period of 70 years, known in the history of Israel as the exile. And the people were allowed to continue to worship, and they had their scriptures with them. They had the law and the prophets. And in the prophets, they would come up against these words of the prophet Isaiah. Words which had actually been preached 150 years before the exile experience. They were meaningful at that time, but boy, they really kicked in now. These words of comfort, assurance, and fulfillment to God's people under the cosh. And it's from scriptures like this that God's people drew hope throughout their dark and difficult experience. In these words, they found assurance. These are words so often quoted in times of difficulty. God coming to his people and saying, "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all their sins." It had been a hard experience in Babylon. And those who had the deepest spiritual insight were quite clear that this hardship was God's judgment upon his people. They hadn't shown the devotion that God wished from his people. They were worshipping other gods. They hadn't listened to the prophets when they came with their message of how they could turn once again to God and live faithfully according to his ways. And they hadn't really taken seriously their destiny to be the light of the nations, leading others to worship at the feet of the one God. There was no doubt in the eyes of many people in this moment that God's hand of judgment had fallen upon them and was being expressed in the exile. But here they would read the prophet Isaiah, and he would come to them with this assurance that a day would come when God would deem that their hard service was over, that this time of judgment was complete, that he was removing his heavy hand from them, and that their debt of sin was considered paid for. It's all over. And now we can go forward with courage and with hope. And that promise always stood for the people of God. It wasn't just for this moment in time that their sins were forgiven. This promise of forgiveness would stand for them. Because Israel's sin wasn't over. They would continue to sin. Of course they would. But these words assured them that they lived their lives in the presence of a forgiving God. And you know, we have an even deeper assurance than these people had, folks. Yes, they had the promises and they could feast on words like this. But we have the cross of our Lord Jesus, which tells us that Jesus, in dying upon the cross, paid the price for the whole world's sin. On the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And that's a testimony, surely, of each and every Christian man or woman. On the cross, he bled and died to take away our sin. He, in a sense, received double for all our sins. More than enough. For every sin, more than enough he gave, says the hymn that we sing sometimes, and brought and bought our freedom from each guilty stain. More than enough he gave for our sin. And you know, when we're going through our worst of times, times of ill health, times of bereavement, times when the challenges of life threaten to overwhelm us, it's good to know that the worst thing about us has been dealt with. This sin that keeps us apart from God, that makes us like the people of Israel so long ago, worshipping other gods, hardening our hearts against His word, not taking seriously our mission to be the light of the world. In the midst of that, there is always the opportunity for forgiveness, for the healing of our souls, for the prospect of standing before our God on the last day without fear. For the price has been paid and we are ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. So words of assurance from the ancient prophet, but also words of motivation. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's a vision of a people getting ready. Getting ready for the journey home. And what a joyful journey that would be, leaving behind them all the restrictions of the exile and returning once again to the lands that God had given to Abraham for his people. But it's not just going to be their procession to bring glory to the name of Israel. Isaiah says that this will be a highway for our God. This will be a highway for our God as the people move through the desert places, as they move alongside various towns and villages and settlements. This will be a highway for God. I was just hearing this morning on the radio that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex are visiting Morocco in this moment. And we all know about the preparations that have to be made for royal visits. They actually used to make new roads for the passage of a king in those days, in the days of the ancient people. And this is what Isaiah is envisaging, that a way will be made for God, who will be with his people. As they walked along the difficult road, they would walk in his presence. They would experience his strength, and they would learn to appreciate his truth even more. The presence of the King of Kings, the strength of the King of Kings, the truth of the King of Kings. We are walking on a highway for our God. And Isaiah says that the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all mankind will see it. For the mouth of God has spoken. You know this word glory? The glory of the Lord was something that used to be seen in ancient Israel, you know, a bright shining light that said God was present. But the original Hebrew from which the word glory is translated, it has a sense of weight. You know, the glory of God being something that was significant, that was heavy. And what we're hearing here is that as the people travel along from their exile to their promised land, they will be given weight by their God. They will go in his presence. They will experience his strength. And they will appreciate the truth that has been revealed to them. They were going home, but they had a story to tell about their God, and they had values which this God had revealed to them that they would apply to their lives and to the life that they saw around them. And it was as they realized all of this that they would be given significance, that the glory of God would be revealed, that his weight would be with them. And I just love that image that was our call to prayer this morning of the people of God passing through desert places, the valley of Baca where nothing grows. And as they traveled through the valley, they made it a place of springs. They transformed it to a place where there was freshness, where there was renewal of life. That's the role of the people of God in every day and age. And again, looking at another psalm, Psalm 126, which was used very often as people went on a pilgrimage up to Jerusalem, and as they passed various places where there were people living, they would say, the Lord has done great things for these people. The Lord has done great things for these people who are traveling. The weight of God with them was palpable. And I hope, friends, that in these weeks and months, perhaps, that lie ahead, that you would keep that vision before you of God's weight resourcing his people in the challenging days. I won't be here every Sunday in the pulpit. I won't be here to respond to any pastoral need that arises. And you can imagine how that feels. But you'll still be here, carrying that weight with you, showing the difference that the story can make, and the love of Jesus can make in people's lives. Keep that before you, because the journey goes on. And who knows what our God of surprises has in store. You know, that was the title of a book that was popular some time ago among Christians. The God of surprises. And, you know, he is. And I wonder if Paul was surprised when he was in prison in Rome and he was getting news from various churches when he was in prison, and he was worried about the church in Rome, because, you know, he's an apostle, isn't he? And he's taken out of the story for a while. He's locked up. How are things going to fare with these young Christians in Rome? But then Paul realizes that in prison he has an opportunity to bear witness to the gospel through speaking to the guards and others. And he hears about people who have stepped up in the church in Rome to take on responsibilities, because Paul's away. And as he's writing to the church in Philippi, he says, actually, what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. I'm here bearing witness in this prison, and I'm hearing that people are not only hanging in there, not only holding things together in the church, but they're stepping up, exercising their gifts, and the journey goes on. So there's motivation in these words from the prophet, and there's also fulfillment. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You know, everywhere I go, people are talking to me about the mess that we're in at the moment. You know, Brexit. Sorry. Do you know, our Stephen's got a Brexit cupboard. He's stockpiling tins, candles, who knows what else. It's not unusual, I'm told. But that's Stephen. And you look at these folk in Venezuela. As we're talking about our mess, you know, think about having money that has no value. Think about the shops being empty. Think about medical resources being stretched to their very limit. And think about a government preventing aid going to their suffering people. And in these circumstances, you know, you're watching these things on television, and I often ask myself the question, now, how would you preach in the midst of those circumstances? And what would you preach? Well, all we can do is to preach the God that we know. And the God that we know advanced his good and loving purpose for all humankind through a tortured body on a cross. That's one of the biggest challenges that anyone faces in the life of faith. We accept that there will be suffering, and it's not an indication that God has departed. It's not an indication that talk of God is meaningless. We have sung together over the years, "Our God is marching on." And he's not just marching on in the days of celebration and in the days of triumph. He's marching on through Brexit. He's marching on through Venezuela. He's marching on through every personal challenge that we have to face. The word of our God stands forever, and it will stand until all the promises are fulfilled. You know, it was my intention, when I was told what was lying ahead, it was my intention to keep working while I was undergoing treatment. I was very firmly disabused of that notion by my consultant, principally because of one of the drugs which I'm going to have to take. He said, they can make you a bit manic. Don't laugh. They can make you a bit manic. And he said, we can't have you standing up in your pulpit and saying outrageous things. I said, well, they've been used to it for the last 30 years. I mean, what's going to change? But you know, it has occurred to me in thinking about these words that, you know, the gospel is outrageous. By any human standards, this message that we preach is outrageous. God has come to us in a human being. God has been sacrificed upon a cross. He has risen from the dead to show us what lies before the whole creation, which will be renewed. And to all those who believe this message, there is the gift of the Holy Spirit, God becoming part of your life. And a role for each and every one of us to play in sharing this message with the world and gathering more people into this movement, the greatest movement of people that has ever been seen in human history. I've had enough of human standards. You know, they change so much. Sometimes you don't know where you are with human standards. But the word of our God stands forever. He has revealed himself to us. And he has promised to fulfill his promises, not just within a people, but in each individual life, he has promised to fulfill his purposes. And sometimes those purposes will be strange, they'll be painful, they'll be incomprehensible. But then I go to the cross and I understand that in the midst of all of this, God still loves me. God still has a good purpose for me. And I believe, if not in this life, certainly in the next, I will understand how all his promises have been fulfilled. Let's go forward with those words burned in our minds and in our hearts. The word of our God stands forever. The promises will be fulfilled. And for the glory of Jesus' name, let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that you would come to us as a people today, sometimes puzzled, sometimes tired, sometimes discouraged. But we pray that you would come to us and renew us in the power of your Holy Spirit, that we can go forward no matter what the circumstances, knowing that your love and your goodness is being worked out for the glory of your Son's name. Amen. We sing together now, "For Me to Live is Christ." God, our Father, we rejoice today to be a people who have an opportunity to read your word through the years, to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ in these ancient words, to know his ways with us, and to experience the forgiveness of sins that's been made possible by him. The purpose in life that he has revealed, and for the assurance of an eternity in his presence. And we ask, O Lord, that you would increase our appreciation of all that's been done to preserve your word for us through the years, and also to translate the word into languages that people can understand. But we pray, O Lord, that having made our offering today, that our great aspiration would be for the word to be established in our lives, so that people can look at us and realize the power that this word has to transform lives, to transform societies, and to transform nations. And Lord, we pray that you would be with your church at this time, that the word would always be at the heart of our worship, that the values of the word would shape the life of congregations wherever they are, and that the power of the word would be seen to transform communities, bringing them closer to the pattern of life that you wish for each one. And we remember our world today, Father, remembering those people and lands where resources are stretched to the very limit, where governments make decisions that only bring pain to their people. And we pray, Lord, that wherever there is suffering, that there will be believing people to bear witness to your love and to your goodness. And we pray for the work of the Scottish Bible Society as it seeks to bring the promises, the eternal promises, to lands where there is much hardship. We pray for the work the Society does in our own land, in making Bibles more available to those who wish to explore the faith. Bless all those who work full time. Enable them to be encouraged in their work and to find every resource that's needed for the work to flourish. And we pray, Lord, for people we know at this time who are going through the valley of Baca, a place where there is dryness, a place where apparently there is no hope. Lord, we pray for them, those who are sick, those who are bereaved, those who are lonely and discouraged. We pray that your Holy Spirit would come to them in power to reassure them of your presence and your good purpose in their lives. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. We sing together, friends, thanks to God whose word was spoken in the making, of the earth. Let's sing it together. Now may you go in peace, for Christ, the risen Lord, is before you. Go where he calls, and as you go, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore.